Chapter 17 Polar Bears. Even though I was only in the air for a second, if that, it felt as though time was stretched out. Each fraction of that second seemed considerably longer, as so much was happening at once. As I flew through the air, I torqued my body around, grasping for my attacker, figuring that my only recourse was to grab onto him and thus keep from going over the rail. I didn't spin quickly enough, though. He'd moved too fast and was much stronger than I was, flinging me surprisingly far out over the water. I didn't have a chance to grab him, although I did catch a glimpse of his face. James Van Amburgh. Even though this glimpse was incredibly brief, I still recognized the big, burly body and bald head from the photo Molly had shown me. The look on his face was eerily stoic, given what he'd just done to me. He showed the same amount of emotion most people showed for a fly they'd swatted. No one else in the exhibit seemed to have noticed me. James had chosen the perfect time to attack. Everyone else was watching the penguins. The polar bears noticed me, however. I heard both of them huff with what might have been excitement or hunger. I tried to yell for help. By then, it was too late. Before I could make a sound, I hit the water. It was freezing. The shock of it instantly made my muscles seize and my lungs collapse, catching any noise I was about to make in my throat. I quickly sank below the surface. James had thrown me so hard that I plunged several feet down before stopping. I got a mouthful of water, which tasted disgustingly of salt and raw fish, and chilled my insides as well. The moat was painted black so that the polar bears would stand out when viewed from above. Inside, it was dark as a cave, with only weak blue light filtering down through the ice chunks floating on the surface. The cold surrounded me and crushed me. It was like when you get a brain freeze from eating ice cream, only throughout your entire body. The cold clouded my brain, too. I knew there were polar bears in the exhibit with me, and I knew that if the bears didn't get me, the icy water could make me hypothermic and kill me as well. I had to move quickly if I wanted to live. But I couldn't get my limbs to start moving the right way. I struggled to orient myself and paddle upward. I hadn't had the time to take a good breath before being thrown into the water. My muscles and my brain were screaming for oxygen as I fought my way upward. The darkness of the moat seemed to close in. And then, miraculously, I burst through the surface. I clonked my head on a chunk of ice and sucked in air, thrilled that I was somehow still alive. For a few more seconds, at least. There was a loud grunt from behind me. I swiveled around to discover that one of the polar bears had dove into the moat and was coming for me. A huge blur of white sliced through the water. "Help!" I yelled as loud as I could, then swam like heck. A few months before, during a different investigation, I had ended up in the shark tank. And while that had been scary, I had known that sharks generally don't attack humans, especially sharks in zoos, which are well-fed and content. Polar bears were something else entirely. Polar bears in the wild occasionally stalked humans, and they had been known to maul people who'd ended up in their zoo exhibits. I was significantly smaller than the bears, and the smells that Fun Jungle pumped into the exhibit kept them stimulated and ready to hunt. To them, I was potential prey. Even if they weren't hungry, they were still territorial, and I had invaded their space. I had found myself in some dangerous situations before, but I'd never felt that I was actively being hunted before. It was the most terrifying thing I'd ever experienced. I swam away as fast as I could, but weighed down by my wet clothes and shoes, I was no match for the bear. It quickly bore down on me. I reached the wall of the moat where I'd been flung over the railing, but there was no way to climb out. The surface was slick, and safety was 7 feet above my head. There was a terrifying growl behind me. The polar bear lifted its head from the water and came in for the kill, so close I could smell the stink of its breath from its gaping mouth. Right before it reached me, something landed on it. It was big, and it dropped right onto the bear's head, making an enormous splash like a depth charge detonating. I was doused with water once again. The salt stung my eyes and clouded my vision, so I couldn't quite see what was going on in front of me, I could only make out blurry shapes. The big white one, which I figured was the polar bear, had been driven underwater by a big tan one. I wiped my eyes with my hands, and my vision cleared. What I saw was so astonishing, I thought maybe I still wasn't seeing things quite right. Marge O'Malley was in the tank with me. Jumping in like she'd done had been insane, but she seemed amazingly serene in the face of death.
"Hold on, Teddy," she told me. "I'll get you out of here."
The bear recovered quickly, resurfacing beside us with a roar. It raised a paw the size of a baseball mitt out of the water, claws extended, intending to swat Marge's head right off her neck. Marge calmly sprayed it in the eyes with pepper spray. Now that she'd been barred from using guns or tasers, it was the only weapon she was still allowed to carry. It caught the bear completely by surprise. It yelped in pain, then reeled away from us and thrashed in the water as its eyes burned.
"Ha!" Marge laughed triumphantly. "Not so tough now, are you?"
Unfortunately, there was still one more polar bear in the exhibit. The second one, which was even bigger than the first, had now joined the hunt. It stalked toward the edge of the ice floe, growling ominously. "How much more spray do you have?" I asked.
That's it,"
Marge said, not so confident anymore.
"Teddy!"
a voice above me yelled, my favorite voice in the entire world. "Summer."
"Catch!"
An emergency life ring plunked into the water next to me, attached to a rope that snaked up over the railing. I quickly wrapped it around my torso. Maybe I should have offered Marge the chance to go first. After all, she'd saved my life, and it would have been the chivalrous thing to do. But I was well past chivalry. I was cold and wet and scared, and I was relatively sure that Summer couldn't pull Marge out by herself, which meant neither of us would get out alive. The rope went taut as Summer hauled on the other end. My adrenaline was kicking in with a vengeance. Even though the wall was slick and wet, I somehow managed to find hand and footholds on it. I couldn't have scrambled out on my own, but it was enough to give Summer a bit of help as she struggled to reel me in. In only a few seconds, I was up the wall, over the railing, and back to safety. Marge was still in serious trouble, though. I shrugged off the safety ring so we could use it again. There wasn't even time for a hug from Summer. She took the ring from me and threw it back into the water.
"Marge, grab on!" she yelled.
In the exhibit, the second polar bear leaped from the ice floe, belly flopping into the water. Marge clung to the ring. She didn't even bother to try putting it over her torso. There was no way it was going to fit around her body. It would have been like trying to get a Lifesaver's candy around a potato. The best she could do was stick an arm through it and cling on tight. Summer and I hauled as hard as we could on the rope, but it was no use. We couldn't budge Marge an inch. Luckily, help was on the way. People were racing over from the penguin tank. I realized, to my astonishment, that I had barely been in the polar bear exhibit any time at all. Though it felt as if I had first tried for help hours earlier, it had only been a minute, if that. The tourists were coming to the rescue. Behind them, I caught a glimpse of James Van Amberg, his bald head gleaming in the blue light of the penguin tank. Now that his attempt to kill me had failed, he was fleeing the scene. He was heading the opposite direction of the crowd, shoving people aside left and right.
"Stop that man!" I yelled. "He's the one who threw me in!"
It only came out as a hoarse croak, though. My throat was fried from yelling and swallowing salt water. Most people either didn't hear me, or they didn't believe me, or they knew there was something much more important at stake. Saving Marge. Only one person made an attempt to stop James, but the big bald man swatted him aside like a mosquito. Everyone else grabbed the rope and yanked on it as hard as they could, straining to haul in Marge. I did too. In my wet clothes, I was freezing, but I couldn't just sit by while Marge was in trouble. Not after what she'd done for me. In the exhibit, the first polar bear was still wailing in pain from the pepper spray. The second one had almost reached Marge. Marge aimed her pepper spray canister at it and hoped for the best, but only a tiny trickle came out. So she threw the spray bottle at the bear, clonking it on the head. This didn't repel the bear at all. Instead, it got angrier. There were now over a dozen people on the rope, though. With a mighty heave, we hoisted Marge out of the water, or at least part of the way out of it. In addition to her usual bulk, her uniform was soaked, increasing her considerable weight. Water cascaded out of every pocket and crease. All of us working together only managed to pull her up a few feet, which meant her legs were still dangling in the water. The bear lunged for her. Marge swung her feet away, but the bear snagged the leg of her pants with the claws of one paw and pulled down. Now we were in a tug of war. Us versus a polar bear, with Marge serving as the rope. She clung to the life preserver as tightly as she could, but she was slipping. So she dealt with the bear the only way she knew how. She got angry at it.
"Let go of me, you stupid bear!" she yelled, kicking at it with her other foot. "Back off, or I'll make a rug out of you!"
The bear was putting up a heck of a fight. All of us on the rope were yanked toward the railing as the bear struggled to drag Marge down. The rope started to slide through our hands, burning our palms. The second bear shook off the pain in its eyes and rejoined the action, swimming back toward Marge. More people scrambled to help, grabbing what was left of the rope and clinging on tight. As the second bear bore down on her, Marge managed to finally land a good kick on the first. She drove her foot right into its nose. The bear reared back and sneezed, losing its grip on Marge's pants. All of us on the rope suddenly found ourselves in a tug-of-war with no one on the other end. We sailed backward, crashing to the floor, while Marge rocketed up and slammed into the railing.
"Ouch!"
she yelped, then turned her anger on the people who had just saved her life.
"Watch what you're doing, you idiots!"
For a moment, it appeared that everyone was considering letting her drop back into the polar bear exhibit. But we didn't. Instead, we held on tight while Marge clambered over the railing to safety. In the exhibit, the polar bears gave up the hunt and calmly swam back to their island, as though this sort of thing happened every day. Now Summer finally had the opportunity to rush to my side. She threw her arms around me and asked, "Are you all right?" "Yes," I said. "Thanks to you. And Marge." It seemed like I should be exhausted after the ordeal, but it hadn't taken all that long, and my body was humming with adrenaline. Marge appeared to be having the same experience. She didn't collapse with exhaustion or bother to thank anyone for their help. Instead, she looked around the room, then frowned and asked me,
"Teddy, where's the jerk who threw you in there?"
Much of the crowd gasped, stunned to hear someone had done this on purpose. "It was James Van Amberg," I said, pointing toward the door. "He ran that way."
"How much of a head start does he have?"
Marge asked. "At least a minute," I replied. "We'll never catch him."
"Maybe not on foot," Marge told me. "Luckily, I have a vehicle."